Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Faith Focused Spanish Blog Show with your host, Faith Lane.
Great morning, great morning, great morning. We have Ms. Jennifer Brown, the co-author of the Raw Reality of Mother's Love, and I'm super excited to have her on the show. Just a couple of things before we get started with the show. If you're looking for any advertisement, commercials, radio interviews, or radio spins, you can contact me, Faith Lane, at faithfocusfinish, and that's at gmail.com. And any of the guests call in at 563-999-3741. I'm super excited to have Ms. Jennifer on the line. Just a minute, let me get her on. Great morning, great
Hello.
Morning, great morning, Ms. Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm super excited to finally get a chance to have you on the show.
Yes, I'm excited too.
I actually was introduced to Ms. Jennifer through one of her cousins, Ms. Takesha Wade. She was actually on
yes.
my show. She was my very first guest, actually.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, she was.
I didn't know that.
Well, actually, I had her on another show that I was on before, another podcast, and I wanted to bring her back on my own platform. So she actually was my very first guest.
Yes, she's a great speaker, so I'm like super excited about her and her growth and what she's doing with her business.
Yeah, I've been watching her. I'm like, go ahead now. I've been watching her.
Yes.
Wow, that's excellent. A family full of entrepreneurs.
Yes, that is
so
true. I thought about that. I look back and thought about that, and I said, you know what? I've come from a family of entrepreneurs, and like I'm pretty blessed to have the knowledge that I have. So I'm excited about what God is doing, and as He's helping me build my businesses.
Mhm. Yeah. You know, I used to post this comment on my page, a picture comment. And it said, if we can teach a million of our kids to go work for someone else, we could teach a million of our kids to own our own business.
Yeah.
And I really believe in that strongly.
Yes,
one of the things
I do too.
Is, I actually didn't, and it's so crazy because I come from a family of entrepreneurs on my dad's side. But I never was taught entrepreneurship or taught to own my own business, which is really weird. But I didn't own my first business until I was 46 years old. And once somebody sat down to talk to me, I said, I need to teach all my nieces and nephews all of this. I don't want to see them go down the same path I went working for 30 years for somebody else and not do it for my family. And so, unfortunately, my father failed, you know, miserably. It wasn't his fault. It was, he just, you know, he only ran the system that he was taught. And so, the other system that he was taught was, you know, going to throw our money in the bank and not saving it in the right places, meaning investing it. So, of course, you know, he just taught us what he knew. And so I'm just so thankful that I'm open-minded to, you know, have my own businesses, and I'm mentoring and coach other people to do the same thing. And so the reason why I'm saying it, because it's just beautiful to me to see other families, especially in our community, teach, you know, their families entrepreneurship and owning their own thing. So I'm just super excited for your family.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It was kind of the same for me as well, because my family, coming from a family of entrepreneurs, they didn't really talk about it either. So it's kind of one of those things that I just, you know, I knew it was always there, but I kind of came into it on my own. I think it was one of those things where the family members didn't know how to, really didn't know how to teach it. They just knew how to get up every day and go to work and provide for the family. And the benefit of it was their own business. So, you know, that's one of the things that I do with my son. I make sure that I, you know, take him everywhere I go, whether it's entrepreneur classes or anything in the community. I want him to be involved in, you know, what I have going on. So, yeah, it is it is a beautiful thing, and I love seeing all the entrepreneurs that are blooming right now, that are springing up, because there's so many of us.
Right. We have to overwhelm them with entrepreneurship. And the reason why I say that, because it's so many people mindset don't even realize their mindsets are enslaved into slavery again with, you know, going to only do it for someone else. And it's, you know, I tell people it's time for us to, I'm not saying quit your job. What I am saying is while you work your job, build you a business on the side at the same time. So one day you can fire the boss and you don't have to worry about the boss laying you off and firing you. That's what I'm saying.
allow your everyday income to be an investment into your business. So then I think a lot of people make the mistake in just walking away and saying, I'm starting my own, but don't have anything to start their own with. So one of the things that I'm doing is that the job that I have now, I'm investing. I'm investing in my business for, you know, the coming year. Because I know that's going to be the way. If I want to avoid having to get loans from the bank, I'm utilizing my current income to invest in my business that I want to have 100% later on in the coming years.
Exactly. And also one of the things, too, not just investing in our business, but investing our money so that our money can start working a little bit harder for us than we working hard for our money. And so that's actually one of the businesses that I do is educating about financial literacy, because I do know a lot of people that's putting all of their money into their business, but at the same time they got to learn how to pay themselves too, and so and get themselves in position financially. This pandemic should tell a whole lot of people a lot of things, especially the people I've been talking to, thousands of people that say, you know what, I'm good. You know, I don't need to do any investments or anything right now. And look, it's a lot of people out here in financial troubles. And so I actually talked to a lady yesterday. We're going to get to your book in a minute. I'm sorry.
I love the conversation.
I actually talked to a young lady yesterday. I met her about maybe 7 years ago, never deleted her number. I don't know why I saved it. But yesterday I was going through my phone and I was introducing my business to, you know, people that was in my phone. I started from A to Z. And this one particular lady, she's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you called me, because we have a warehouse full of people that was just evicted out of their homes or whatever, teachers, lawyers. And she was just naming all these people. And I was like, wow. I said, I would love to sit down and talk with them and just help them, you know, get in position, because the business that I am, we just get in position. We're going to New York Stock Exchange, and I'm just super excited to try to help some people, you know, build their business up and get their stuff on track. And so a lot of people, we look at people, they're a lawyer, a doctor, they're not struggling. But I know some lawyers out here that's out here cleaning buildings. And so that means that they was not in position. So I know they wasn't in position knowing that the money that they make, I know just the average person that's out here working is in trouble financially too. And so even though we always, you know, a lot of people are already struggling paycheck to paycheck, now that this is out, you know, 40 million people on unemployment, that tells me a lot of people in trouble. So we just got to, you know, start learning how to be open-minded and learn something new, not just learn just what we're doing now. Be open to do multiple things and treat our situation every day as an emergency situation. And not just get ourselves on track, but put our kids in position to start winning. And that's what I love about what I do, because you know, we help people put their kids in position so they can start winning ahead of time. I just love it. I love it. I love talking to other entrepreneurs, other business owners, and just, you know, just having that heart-to-heart conversation with them to say, look, okay, I know where I'm going. I may not be there right now. I know, you know, I'm on my way, but here I need a little push. I need a little something extra to go with what I'm doing. So I'm just super excited.
Yes.
I'm, you know, I'm pumped up about my business. I don't know if you could tell in my voice.
Yeah, that's how everybody should be. Everybody should be confident enough to know and have a roadmap to getting there. You know, like you said, you're not there just yet, but you have a map that you are going to arrive at that destination, and it's going to be success, and you're going to be that successful entrepreneur and be able to continue to help people in the community. And I think that's really what it's all about. People just have to see an example of it being done because we are witness to that. We saw it, but we just didn't get the information that we needed to be the entrepreneurs at an earlier age. And so, you know, I'm appreciative, you know, of hearing stories like that from you and seeing people even in the community that's out, you know, helping people start their businesses going. So you guys are needed. So keep it going.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I said, my knowing the things that I know now, if my father were to just put $25 away per kid per month, right now, today, at 52 years old, I would have at least $8 million put away just by putting $25 away in a 10% interest rate. So I'm giving you the vision that a lot of people say, I don't have enough money. Well, if you can spend $200 on some Jordans, you could put $25 away for you and your kid. Into they, you know what I'm saying, each. Or even if you, you know, depending on what age you are, you might have to put more money away for you, but still put your kid in position so they can start winning. And so we just got to, you know, just talking to people in the atmosphere, period, that we can do it. We just got to shift our mindset and want a chance to do something different. So.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Ms. Jennifer, a little bit about your book. Well, first of all, tell me a bit about you.
let's see. So I was born and raised in small town Terry, Mississippi. My family moved here to Oklahoma in 1984. And I moved here and left in 94. I from high school. Vowing to never, ever, ever return to Oklahoma because this was not a place that I wanted to be. And ended up graduating high school, went on to Dallas, and graduated college with a degree in merchandising, fashion merchandising and design. Started a great and fun career in retail management. And then also I started back to school to do Christian counseling. And then my job transferred me to Arizona in 2008. So I lived in Arizona, which is where I became a mother. And then in 2012, God laughed at me and my little vow of never coming back to Tulsa, and he sent me right on back here. And so for the first couple of years, I will tell you that I tried to do everything I could to get out of Tulsa. I tried to transfer with my job. I tried to relocate to different states, and nothing ever worked out. And so I would say around 2018, I really sat down and said, okay, God, I get it. You don't want me to leave. And I really had to make a decision that I had to really truly bloom where God had planted me. And I knew that God had brought me back here for a reason. So in taking that time and really getting clarity on what he wanted me to do, that is when I can say that was a moment in my life where I felt like I got on my path of purpose and that I started walking in confidence. Because once I said yes and okay, God, I'm not going to fight you no more, that's where it seemed like all the doors opened up for me. And so to know me, to know Jennifer, people often kind of wait to see if there's going to be another Jennifer that come out. But to know me, I'm a very genuine person. I love and I'm very passionate about supporting, you know, Elevate to the next level in their life, their career. And I love it because I know that this is the person that God has designed me to be. So even in the mix of relationships that, you know, where people have hurt me, I still do this. I still support people. I still, you know, celebrate people and what they're doing with pom-poms waving and a smile on my face because that is who I am. I'm also a mother of one son, and that is, I'm just enjoying my life and walking in purpose and being a mother and praying that God will help me steward all the things that are happening to me right now. So that's Jennifer.
Right.
That is who I am.
Well, that said a lot about you because, you know, just talking about, just thinking about when you said you helped a lot of people even through hurt and pain. And trust and believe, I know exactly where you're coming from. When you said it, it kind of hit me in the heart like, wow. Because, you know, sometimes you feel like you're the only person out there that's going through that, but other people out there that's going through it. And so...
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I want to say, your accent do not sound like a Mississippi accent.
I get that all the time. And I don't know, maybe because I came to Oklahoma. But it's so funny because when I moved to Oklahoma, I often got made fun of because I would say 44 instead of 44.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I go back to Mississippi, then my cousins would make fun of me and they're like, why are you saying 44 and not 44? And so I don't know where the accent came from, but I'm just glad that I can pronounce most of all my words correctly and people understand me.
Right. That happened to me when I moved to Georgia. Yeah. I used to work for the transit system in Atlanta, and some of those people, I definitely really could not understand with their accent. And the lady said,
uh-huh.
You know what he's talking about? I'm like, I really don't, but okay.
No, I don't. Yeah.
But that's, yeah. So I, for some reason, I've been connected with a lot of people for Oklahoma, and it seemed like a lot of torn or hurt women in Oklahoma. I'm not for sure what's going on, but I've never been there before, even though I know a lot of people there. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I never, you know, I don't know what the environment is like that, like there. So,
mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about some of the things that you went through while you were there that you weren't happy about.
So, you know, living in Tulsa, like, growing up, I won't say that my life was like really hard where I experienced a lot of trauma. You know, when I look back on my life, a lot of the things that I went through, it was just very hard transitions for me. You know, I developed a disorder at a very young age that caused me to isolate myself. And so
mm-hmm.
That was very hard for me. And so I never really kind of developed who Jennifer really was. I never really developed my voice because I was taking so much time in isolation. And so for those that know Tulsa, you know, it wasn't until recently where the world really kind of got to hear the tragedy that happened in Tulsa in 1921 with the massacre that took place here. And it was such a booming environment of entrepreneurs, Black entrepreneurs. And for a lot of the women that are here, a lot of the people that are here, there's been this dark cloud that's kind of hovered over Tulsa for years and years. And nobody's really said anything about it. It's that elephant in the room. But one of the things that I believe God is doing right now for this city, for this state, is that he's moving that cloud away. And he's bringing out those people that he's birthed up for this moment and this time. Tulsa has so many like hidden gems and so many talented people here but it's mm-hmm. having an outlet and an avenue to play all of that talent and all that's going on here. And so I think what's happening right now, why people are hearing a lot about Tulsa, because you have a few people that's saying, no, not anymore. We're not about to have this cloud. We're about to put Tulsa on the map. And so I will say, not in a narcissistic way, I should say, in saying I'm proud to be one of those people, but I am proud to say that I am wanting to do something positive for my city. I'm wanting to shed light on all the talented people that are here, because the things that I experienced when I was growing up, it's time out for that. I don't want anyone else to have to experience that. And if my testimony and my actions, my day-to-day actions, my consistency in what I'm doing in the community can help change a generation, well, I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to do that. I'm going to be consistent in walking in my purpose and helping and shed light on this city. So for those that are listening, whether you are in Oklahoma or you're in some other state, y'all better watch out for Tulsa, because we got some great people that are coming out of here. so we are ready, and that is, I really believe that is the blessing and favor that God is showing on us right now, and we got to make sure that we stay on board with it.
Wow, that's awesome. And I'm glad that you're there, to be part of that. I'm sure it's a good feeling to be part of something big like that, to help making a change in the community.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your book. How did you I see that you guys, you're a co-author, and the name of the book is The Raw Reality of a Mother's Love. How did you?
Yes.
I see it's 21 authors in the book. How
mm-hmm.
did you get involved with being attached to this book?
So last year, 2019, the visionary of this project, Ms. LaToya Rose, she is actually one of the change makers that's trying to do big things here in Tulsa. She approached me about this. It started out in what I thought was just kind of like a panel discussion, but then it evolved into a book. And all the women that she brought together, I have not met all of them, but some of them I have. A lot of the women that are in the book, they live here in Tulsa, and they are doing amazing things in their own right outside of motherhood. But being able to be a part of this project, it was an honor for me because I'm not a writer. And I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
so you're wanting me to share my story. And so she was
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, share your story about motherhood. And so as I sit down to try to come up with the words, I was just like, Google, can you do this for me? And it just was not working. But as I thought about it, it revealed like a lot of, memories of old wounds, healed wounds, but a lot of old wounds. And so, I was like, okay, this has been brought to me. So obviously there's something that needs to come out of it. And so for me, I begin to think about, there are times where we are moving so fast that we lose sight of what we've gone through and all that we've overcome, and you forget how much you've grown, in the process. And so when I sit down to write this, I knew that I could write it and share, not write it, but share my story, because I will be sharing my story from a healed place. And so
mm-hmm.
It just really helped me to be able to get the words together to share with people what it was. And my hopes is that for, those that read my story, that they are, that they're inspired, and that they're encouraged to be steadfast through any hardship, whether you're a mother or not, but that you will know and understand that you will come out on the other side of this, you know, healed and restored. So I just want to, you know, I did it, and I want women to be encouraged that even when times get hard in motherhood or even in life, that you just got to stay the course and know that there is purpose at the end and that you'll be able to share your testimony about it all down the line.
Right. Wow. So how long did it take you to write your chapter? You have a whole chapter to yourself?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It took me a minute, partly because I just wanted to make sure that, you know, my wording was correct and I didn't have any of that country grammar slang in there and
right.
and that it was all good. But it took me just a couple of months because I didn't sit down and write it all out in one, you know, in one night. I worked on it as God gave me things to share. That's how I wrote it.
Okay. Yeah, I've been working on one for myself. I've been having some challenges, but it's all good. I'm gonna get it done though. But yeah, I know. Trust me,
yeah.
I feel the struggle because it's like
yes.
You don't know where to start at.
Yeah,
how
it
old
can,
is
it
your
could
son?
Be, it could be overwhelming, okay. But there's so many great people. Even in the process of this, I've met who's really good. Like their words just flow, and I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
See, I need you with me in my back pocket every day when I need to come up with
right.
something that I need to write out that's really good.
So. Right, that part. Wow, that's funny. So how old is your son?
My son is 10 years old. He
Aww.
Just turned 10 in April. Yes.
Oh,
an
April baby. I'm an April baby.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. He's April 16, and he's such an amazing kid. I love, you know how people brag on their kids, but I'm going to brag on him right now and say that my son is Mr. Braden. He's destined to be a positive world changer. He has such a great personality and lots of energy. I promise this kid has like energy of like 15 kids. I'm like, oh, my
wow.
gosh, where does all this energy come from? But he has such great energy, and he loves life. He doesn't meet a stranger. And so I know, like, when I see a lot of the things, you know, and the little person that he's developing into, you know, I'm just grateful. Like, thank you, Lord, because you've given me such a great son. So, yeah, so watch out for Braden Brown later on down the line, y'all.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So I know that you said you were a single parent. How long have you been single for the whole 10 years, or how long have you been single?
Yes. My son's father, we did not have a relationship after I was pregnant. We actually knew each other for several years before we briefly dated. But once I became pregnant, I realized that he was not a person that I would want to be with, and I realized the same. And so we did not have a relationship while I was pregnant. Unfortunately, during that time, you know, when I got pregnant, he wasn't there. And I don't say it to paint him in a bad light because I know, you know, we all go through things, but in that moment, the first few years of his life, my son's life, our son's life, he was not there. And for me, during that time, I think when I think about a challenging time for me in motherhood, that was probably one of the most challenging for me because I didn't know if my son would have a father. But I knew his father, and I knew the man that he was, and I knew that he was a man that loved other people. He's a counselor, so he loved helping and serving other people. So my prayer during that time was to that God would keep my heart open, and keep my heart open for forgiveness for him, so that if he did come around, and when he did come around, that I would be able to, you know, be open to let Braden have a relationship with his father. And it was a few years after, and I'll tell you that now, you know, the relationship that they have and the healthy co-parenting relationship that he and I have right now, I know is nothing but God that has his hand in the mix of it, because my son, he doesn't know what happened in the beginning. One of the things that I did, I made a vow that I would never tell my son or shed negative light on his father. And I have not shared with him what happened in the beginning. I had a conversation with his father a little while ago, and I said, you know, hey, if it ever comes to a time where he asks you, you know, why weren't you there, I just hope that you will be honest enough with him to share with him. And so the conversation hasn't came up between him and his father. I don't know that it mm-hmm. ever will, because I feel like the love that we give to him now and the healthy relationship that we have between each other, he doesn't know any different. And so right. he will never hear him say anything negative or bad about his father.
Right. Right. So how long have you guys been co-parenting?
Since my son was about 7.
Okay.
So probably about the end of 6 when he turned 6, and then 7 it was like, you know, it was like full on, nonstop. Like, they talk every other day. They visit, they see each other at least twice a year. And one of the things that I love and appreciate is that his father is now married, and his wife loves my son. And so that there's no, you know, baby mama drama. There's no craziness that's going on, but there's just genuine love that's happening, and the kids are being raised in healthy homes. And so that's what's really most important, you know, about what we have going on with our relationship, is that we're raising a healthy and soon to be very productive son in this world.
Yes, awesome. That's beautiful. And it's also beautiful that, you know, he finally did, you know, came around, that you guys can work it out together. Because it's just so hurtful to see some, especially the boys, their fathers. So that's a beautiful thing to me. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell me, what made you want to talk about your story, write about it, and talk about being a single parent?
You know, as I said earlier, I wanted to share it because, you know, when I thought about it, I knew that I can share it from a very healed place. You know, I see women every day whose children are well into college, and they're still hurting from the relationship. Their kids are still hurting from the relationship between the parents. And, you know, I knew that God had put me in a place and positioned me, and also given me a healed heart that I would be able to share. And so I want to tell my story because I want women to know, even more so the younger generation, that God loves us, and, you know, we may not always make the right decisions, but even when we make the bad decisions and it causes hurt, that God can heal that, and he can bring us through anything that we're going through. And so I wanted to share, and I want young ladies to know, even young men that are experiencing, you know, the drama with the mothers, the young men that have full custody of their kids, that, you know, there's purpose in what they're going through, but God has chosen them to be their parents. God has specifically chose them to be the parent of that child. And so sharing my story, I would want people to be inspired by it and know that with the hardships.
Wow, that's beautiful. Wow, that's awesome. So, So yeah, I my mom, I kind of, even though my father was around, my mom, I'll just sit here thinking about her struggles. And you know, a lot of times the parents don't tell you what they went through when they, you know, raising a kid. And so I was just sitting here trying to imagine what she went through, doing it on her own. She ended up getting married to, and she was married to this guy for 30 years. So that's my dad. but, you know, it just makes me, you know, wonder about what are some of the struggles she had went through, you know, at, you know, raising this, all of these kids, you know, blended family. So, but yeah, did you have any struggles in the beginning, or do you have any now still?
In the beginning I did. You know, when my son was born, you know, I was not financially ready to take care of a newborn. You know, I had a good salary, but I didn't have the salary to pay $800 and some a month for childcare for a newborn. And so my salary didn't require me. It didn't, I guess, what would it be? I wasn't able to get any kind of assistance. So when I'm paying for childcare and paying for rent and student loans and car, I was not financially ready. And so I had to make a really hard decision, because things became really, really tough for me. And it was a point where my car broke down. And I was living in Scottsdale. I worked right down the street from my job, and it took me less than 5 minutes to get to work. And then I would drive him to the sitter. Well, my car broke down, and I had to take the bus. So for like 2 months, because I didn't have the money to get my car fixed, for 2 months, I had to get on the bus, and I would get on the bus at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would have to take 3 buses to Ahwatukee, Arizona, from Scottsdale. It took me 2 hours to get there and 2 hours to get back, and it took such a toll on me, like emotionally and spiritually. I was like completely drained. I was like, I don't understand why there's so much hardship, but I felt like in the moment that I was just paying the price for, you know, having a child out of wedlock. Because years before him and his father had gotten together, me and his father got together, I had made a vow of celibacy. So I felt like, oh, well, this is the consequences of what I'm having to go through, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was very hard financially. So before my son, well, I would say his first birthday, we came back to Oklahoma to visit, and I had to leave him here. And I thought it would be like a few weeks until I got my car fixed, but that few weeks turned into a year and a half. And that was extremely hard for me, because I experienced separation anxiety. I actually had to go to a counselor, because my mother, she worked late, and it was so funny because I would be calling her late at night, and I'd be like, are you guys in the house? Where are you at? Are you watching your surroundings? And she's like, girl, if you don't get off this phone, I have raised 2 kids, and I'm taking care of your baby, you know. But for me, that separation anxiety, it set in, and it was there 24 hours. And so it really became hard. So it was when I came back here in 2012, I learned, okay, I'm glad that I'm back, because I have the support. But now I'm in a position to where there's no financial struggle. I think the one thing that if I could change, it would be for my son and his father to be closer together. And he lives in California, so California at one time. But then I was like, no, it's just too expensive. I don't desire to be stuck in traffic. Like, I just had a whole bunch of no's for L.A.
Right.
So so we do everything we can to make sure that they see each other regularly. Like I said, they see each other twice a year. But, you know, we're wanting to increase it. And, of course, with the whole corona thing, we haven't been able to do the summer visits or anything like that. So
right. I'll tell you, I was sitting here thinking about when you said you guys still try to make sure they have see each other, this modern technology thing right here, this
yes.
FaceTime thing. Like, literally, there should never, ever be an excuse for anyone. Even if you can't touch them, you can still see them and talk to them.
You can still see
and
them,
and actually
yes.
build a relationship that way. Even though we would rather for them to have that, be able to touch, you know, but still at the same time, that modern technology thing I was just sitting here thinking about, being able to still build that relationship through that. But that's beautiful that you guys actually are still, you know, like I said, still doing it together as a family, even though he's far apart. And so that's awesome. Yes, ma'am. So I know that you have a couple of businesses that you're involved in. I don't know how to pronounce this. Is the PWEN business? I see that you're a director.
P-Win.
What is that? How do you pronounce it? Okay, P-WIN.
So
okay.
It's P-WIN. It's short. So what P-WIN stands for is the Phenomenal Woman Empowerment Network. And that organization, that's one of the great blessings that God has given me. We started a chapter here in Tulsa, but the organization, it was started back in 2005 by the visionary and founder, Ms. Cherise Irby Castle. And she founded this organization just on doing a yearly conference. And then in 2013, it became a 501c. And it seemed like from that point, that's where it just really grew. So what PWIN is a women organization for women. And the mission of it is to meet women right where they're at, personally, professionally, spiritually, to help provide them with the resources and tools that they need for success in the next level of life. And so how we do that is we have year-round conferences, workshops, and webinars, and also mentorship to help these women because we know that when you're in business, you have issues personally. And so, you know, and spiritually, you know, when you're being drained. So we help these women throughout. And so we do that not by partner, not by membership, but we do it with partnership. So we have a partnership platform where we connect with ladies around the city, around the world, actually. And we are able to help women in multiple ways because with the partnership, because I'm not a licensed counselor, if I have a partner that's down the street, I'm able to call on, you know, that partner to help the young lady that's in need. And so it's just a community of women that is there readily and available to help with the village of other women. And so we started a chapter here in Tulsa. We just celebrated our first year on March 9th. And it has been such an amazing experience for me because I've been able to meet so many beautiful women. It just gives me another reason to do and walk in my purpose with confidence because I meet these women and find out different going on, things that they help me with, and we build relationships. And so it's been great. It's a great organization to be a part of. And then also one of the things that I really, really love about it is that we have a scholarship. It's a Carrie J. Gray Scholarship and Award Program. And what that is, when all the partners invest, when they sow a seed annually, that money goes to young women that are wanting to go to college. And with the mentorship, when these young ladies go to college, we have an annual program that we do every year, the VIP experience every year. And we present young ladies with scholarships. And it's not the huge scholarship that will pay for an entire semester, but it's those things that will pay for books or living expenses, different things that will help. But throughout their 2 to 4 years in college, they have a mentor. And so they have someone mm-hmm. that they can call on. And if there's anything that they need, you know, the PWIN partners, it's just a great thing.
Wow. Now, how many people is in this organization? I mean, when I looked at the website, I said it seemed like you guys have a lot of women involved.
Yes. So since starting, and I know it's well over this now, but since starting, this organization has helped well over 13,000 women. And
wow.
I know just here in Tulsa alone, you know, and just this week, you know, we have the opportunity to bless 4 women just because, you know, and that's one of the things that I love. I have a philanthropic heart, so I love giving. So
mm-hmm.
with the organization, it allows me to do that. And so, like, this week I'm gearing up to just bless few women, you know, with $100 or a couple $100. I know it's not
mm-hmm.
much, but, hey, you know, during this time, if I can seek out someone that's within the Tulsa area that's in need and say, hey, we want to bless you with it, it just does my heart good. So,
right.
Because I like to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, hey, who do you want me to bless? And
right.
So it's just such an amazing feeling when you're able to
mm-hmm.
do things like that. For me, at least, I know it's just, I love it.
Right. I see that you guys take donations. So how can people get in contact with you to be able to make donations towards you guys, towards your organization?
So for PWIN, you can go to www.mypwin.org, and that is mypwen.org. And then you can also, you know, you can also check out the Facebook page. And the Facebook page is pwin.livefierce. That's PWEN.LIVEFIERCE. And so you can give, but I tell you that all of the giving, one of the things that I love about Miss Cherise, she came from a background. She was a regional manager, I believe, in the healthcare industry. So there's a strong discipline there. And she is such a motivator. Like, she's encouraged me, like, for her to entrust, you know, her vision with me here in Tulsa. I was a little nervous at first, and I was like, why did you choose me? You know, and she said, oh, because
right.
Holy Spirit told me to. So when I think
wow.
about those things, I'm like, well, I have a tall order. So, and then in saying yes, you know, in saying yes to running this organization in Tulsa or the Oklahoma area, I knew that I wouldn't be leaving Oklahoma anytime soon. So,
mm-hmm.
I have some work to do, and it's here on Oklahoma soil. So I'll be here for a minute.
Wow, that's beautiful. And that's great that you're a part of an organization that's like that, that's helping other women and inspiring
yes.
them and empowering them. So that's beautiful. Yes, ma'am. So how can people get in contact with you to get your book, and how much is the book?
So the book, you can get the book on Kindle. You are able to download it. I believe it's 99 cents on Kindle. And then you can also order the book on Amazon. It's, I believe, $5 on Amazon.
Okay.
So it's available. It's ready to order. And you can get in contact with me. I just have a regular Facebook page. If you ever want to get in contact with me, I'm on Facebook. I have such a common name, so you can reach me at jennifer.brown.1671897. And I think all of that is posted on my page if you, or on your page if anyone wanted to get in contact with me. You can also reach me via email at Jennifer Brown 574455 at gmail.com.
Awesome. Now, Ms. Jennifer, I just saw that you're a counselor at the Potter's House.
I was a lay counselor. So So right before I went to Arizona, I was in school at Dallas Baptist for Christian counseling. That was such an amazing experience for me because I got the opportunity to just help people. And so I went through a program with the AACC.net, which is the American Association of Christian Counselors. I went through their program. It was like a year and a half. And I was certified to be a lay counselor. My goal was to eventually get my LPC, but with everything happening and me relocating to Arizona, that was put on hold. Being at the Potter's House and being able to help young people in a counseling setting, it was so rewarding for me because when I went through the things that I went through when I was younger, I had to seek out counseling. And so I knew that counseling was an answer for a lot of the hurt that people were experiencing. And so being able to have a voice and to be an advocate for it, it just put me in a place where I was able to help so many other young people. So for several years, I did that. That also opened up the door for me to become a one of the board members with the AACC. It was a division with the AACC. And it's now called the Multicultural Counseling. But it opened up a door for me to share, you know, about the organization and also still advocate for counseling and getting it out into the community where there's oftentimes a stigma that hovers over families, hovers over communities when it comes to counseling. So, yes. And so I utilize that now. Even though I'm not an LPC, I still utilize a lot of what I learned. And I'm still learning, of course. But I use a lot of it in just my everyday and dealing with people.
Right. So for the people that don't know, the Potter House is one of the largest churches in Dallas, Texas, under the leadership of Bishop T.D. Jakes. And so while, and it's so funny because I actually connected with a couple of authors from his church also.
Oh, wow.
that's kind of funny.
It's a large church. One of the things that I loved about it was a large mega church, but in its own way, it was still a small, tight-knit family. You know, so when I hear people talk about, oh, I don't want to go to a mega church, I disagree, you know, because you can develop so many small families from such a large church. And I, you know, that's where a lot of, you know, my teaching came from. And even in just the foundation of, you know, staying in the game. You know, I look at Bishop Jakes and I look at his teachings and he's very motivational, you know, and then I think about my pastor now, who was Pastor Michael Todd with Transformation Church. You know, he's such an innovator and the way he pastors, he's reaching so many young people. And so I love, you know, the leadership that I've been under because it's foundational for, you know, where I'm at right now. Even in my walk. So those two guys, they are world changers, and I love that I'd be able to hear them regularly every Sunday.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, Ms. Jennifer, one of my final questions I want to ask you, if you can say anything to the world about parenting and being a single parent and also about co-parenting, if you can give any kind of advice, what would you say to the world?
I think I said a little bit of it earlier in, you know, just know that you were, you know, when it comes to parenting, you were specifically chosen by God to be the parent to the child that you've birthed out. And so you have to know that there is purpose in that. It's important that you have that confidence in parenting every day. There are going to be days where it's going to be hard. There's going to be days where you lack the confidence in being a great parent. But know that you were chosen and that you have the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help you get through it. You've got to call on God and to seek wise counsel. You know, I really want to say, you know, counseling helps one navigate through any life issues. Now, you may not always come up with the right counselor, but keep searching for the right counselor because it will help you navigate through those life issues that you have. You know, you got to keep your mind clear and your spirit clear. And then just for, like, co-parenting, whether it's a father or mother, keep your heart open for forgiveness because once that child is born, not about you and that person that you were with. It is now about the child. And so decisions and wise and healthy decisions have to be made and based off of that child and ensuring that that child is reared up the right way. And so I encourage couples to keep their relationships open and their hearts open and that they get the help that they need if there's any kind of hardship or any kind of problems in between them and that they focus on the child. It sounds easier said than done. It's easier said than done, but it can be done. I am a witness to it that it can be done. And I know other mothers who are doing it. There's a lot of successful parents and co-parenting out that's happening right now. So that is what I will leave you with. And know that you every day you have the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was Ms. Jennifer Brown. She's the co-author of The Raw Reality of Mother's Love. And I'm just going to read a quick intro from the book. And it says, Love Unfolds Authentic Journeys from 20 Women Who Have Endured Challenging Situations During Their Evolution Into Motherhood. These mothers are doctors, entrepreneurs, ex-cons, former drug dealers, survivors of domestic violence, and a minister of the gospel. Our hope is for your perception of motherhood to be healed, your relationships between mother and child be restored, and your desire to birth and nurture children will be realized. And so, guys, you got to get out and get a copy of this book. Ms. Jennifer Brown, she's the co-author of, it's called The Raw Reality of a Mother's Love. And Ms. Jennifer, I would like to thank you. I appreciate you coming on Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio. And you're always welcome to come on again as a guest anytime you like.
Oh, well, thank you so much for this opportunity. I truly appreciate it. And continue to do what you do. I've seen some of your work, and I think you're doing an amazing job. So keep it moving.
Thank you. I appreciate you. All right, well, on that note, you have a great day, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow on Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio. Again, you can reach me at faithfocusfinish@gmail.com, or you can give me a call at 240-640-492 if you're looking for radio interviews, if you're looking for some extra income, or if you're looking for just some free financial education, you can give me a call. And I can set that time up with you guys. It only takes 15 to 20 minutes for the education. That's why I love what I do. So on that note, you guys have a great and blessed day, and I'll talk with you soon.